This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
I look at the Zoom and I see another man with sunglasses on, and I believe a jersey from his playing days. I think he fit into a jersey from when he played in the 80s and 90s. Boomer, good morning. How are you?
Hey, good morning, Gio, and welcome to the kickoff to summer. Welcome to summer if we ever get some warm weather around here. But I will say, as I said yesterday on Twitter, you know, I don't necessarily know that I celebrate Memorial Day. I think about all the people that have lost their lives throughout all the wars and all the conflicts that we have had throughout our history, and that's really what Memorial Day is all about. A barbecue, for sure, getting together with people you love, for sure, but never lose sight of why we do what we do on Memorial Day. Now, leading into Memorial Day, that's a different story. That's why we find ourselves with our sunglasses. I have my AFC Championship sunglasses on. That's how I like to refer to these. And I also decided, you know what, let me see if I could still fit into my final jersey that I wore when I played for the Bengals in 1997. And lo and behold, this bad baby fits.
That
so
is
I
awesome.
Feel pretty good because I've gotten my weight down to about 234 pounds. My weight when I played was 235 pounds my last 5 years. I got this jersey. It fits. If I had the shoulder pads on, it would be perfect. And you can see it's authentic because when I played at the end, we did have the Bengals on the arm here, and we had the numbers on the shoulder. So I found this, and I'm like, all right, damn, I'm wearing this for Friday, kick off the summer show, and starting getting ready to kick some ass. And the other thing, too, is I got good news about the NHL last night.
Oh, really?
Yes,
that is awesome
I did.
To hear. All right, let's hear it.
Right. So the NHL is going to go with a – it looks like they're going to go with a 24-team tournament, which I've been telling you about now for about a month.
Okay.
The top four teams in each conference will end up with some sort of a bye. They'll probably play something – of some games amongst themselves, I would think, to determine seeding. But I do know, and I feel pretty confident about this, that the New York Rangers will end up playing the Carolina Hurricanes in a best of 3 of 5 series to get into the final eight to be a part of the Eastern Conference's Stanley Cup final race. And the Islanders will play the Florida Panthers in a best of 3 to 5. And then they would, the winner of that would then combine with the top four teams in the Eastern Conference. And then that would form the run to the Stanley Cup playoffs. So I felt like it's a weird thing because there are a couple teams like Carolina and Columbus, Pittsburgh, that are going to have to play in this playoff group to get into the playoffs, even though that if the season ended today,
sure,
those teams are already in the playoffs.
Well,
so the bottom four in the top eight are going to play the other four teams that are outside of the playoffs right now as we speak with a best of a 3 of 5 to get into the playoffs to make the run for the Stanley Cup.
Yeah, I can't imagine those teams complaining all that much about that. I think that once they get the news that they're going to be able to go back out on the ice and compete, regardless of the situation, they're going to be thrilled to do that. So that is great news. Do you have a projected start date for when this would take place it's going to take place?
No, I don't know. I don't know the where yet. I mean, it could be Minnesota. It could be Edmonton. It could be Columbus. There's a bunch of places that they're considering. And I really don't know what each of the top four teams in each of the conferences, how they're going to determine 1 through 4. And really, look, there's no home ice advantage, But what you would get, obviously, is if you do end up with the number one overall seed, technically you're supposed to be playing number eight. So you would be playing the worst team that is left in the playoffs. But I'm not sure where they're going to play. I'm not sure how the top four in each conference are going to end up determining their overall seeding. I guess they'll play amongst themselves, I'm assuming, because I can't imagine those teams not playing real games against teams that are coming out of a best of three or five series getting ready to play, because now all of a sudden they got their sea legs, they got the game underneath, you know, and they got all the timing and all that other stuff. So I would imagine that the top four are going to end up playing anyway. So I would think that there's going to be a 3-week training camp, if you will, where guys, they got to get back out on the ice. They got to get their timing together. They got to make sure that everybody's in shape. They got to do all the testing, you know, all the different things that are going to be required depending on where these players either go to go to play, or where, you know, whether or not they can go to their home facilities and start working out. So I really feel like the NHL is getting very, very close now, and I think that they have the roadmap to make it happen. I think that most of the player reps have voted already, and I think and I feel like they all want to get back to playing. And the good news is that the bottom seven teams don't have to show up, I don't believe. And, you know, like I said, all the players have already gotten paid all their money in the NHL.
Yeah, it makes it a lot easier.
Right.
I'm not saying it's easy to just get back out there because of all the hurdles that you have to clear and keeping everybody safe. And, of course, locker rooms that, you know, any professional sports locker room is going to have all sorts of issues when you try to come back during a pandemic. We understand. But when you already have the money thing put aside, it's a lot easier to deal with the rest of the issues, unlike Major League Baseball hasn't figured that part out yet.
Right.
And we've also heard, at least from Spencer Dinwiddie, he tweeted out, him of the Brooklyn Nets, of course, tweeted out that July 15th, he is hearing that's when the NBA will be coming back in that one location, which would most likely be Disney, which we'd heard rumblings of, but to hear a current player say that gives it even more credence as well.
Yeah, so teams like Detroit, Ottawa, the three California teams, San Jose, the Kings, and Anaheim, the Devils, Ducks, and then, of course, the Devils and Buffalo Sabres, those are the seven teams that would be left out. And like I said, if all the players are paid, then they don't have to really come back and play for anything. And plus, anybody that's on that team that is going into free agency or anything else like that, I just couldn't imagine asking them to come back and participate in like five or six meaningless games to get everybody up to like 77 or 78 games. So most of the teams in the league have played either 70, 71, or 69 games. I think the Islanders are one of the few teams, the Islanders and the Carolina Hurricanes, who have only played 68 games. So, you know, nothing's going to be perfect, and you and I talked about this now for a month and a half, 2 months, that however these teams come back, I am not going to criticize, because I can't even imagine what the commissioners and what the main offices of these leagues have got to go through, the, you know, trying to figure out all the different situations and scenarios. What happens if somebody does come down with COVID-19? What happens if, unfortunately, somebody not only comes down with it, but then ends up dying with it? And I'm not just talking about players. I'm talking about officials. I'm talking about the support staff that it takes to run an NHL game, the guy that's on the Zamboni, you know, the guy that's, you know, inputting everything into the statistical database, all those people that make it run, including trainers and custodial staff for all the different arenas. I mean, if somebody ends up coming down with COVID-19 and ends up dying, that will be the real test, I think, for all of these leagues as to how they handle it. But it's like, you know, life is filled with risks. You know, life is filled with all sorts of chances we all take on a daily basis. And I think that most of the players feel like they want to make a run for the cup, and they probably recognize better than we do the risks that they're going to be taking. I just hope that everybody else around the league recognizes that too and feels good about going to work, if in fact they end up going to work and doing what they would normally be doing in their job capacity.
Well, when sports do come back, and team sports come back, like these big leagues we're talking about, it is in a different environment with a truly heightened sense of awareness where everybody's going to try to protect themselves. Remember when everything stopped. It was because Rudy Gobert wasn't taking it seriously. He thought it was a joke. He was touching all the reporters' microphones. He was reportedly kissing his teammates on the lips as a joke, like grabbing them and saying, look, I'm fine, and kissing them on the lips and then passing the virus around his locker room, as Donovan Mitchell also got it. That's not going to be happening any longer. I think that everybody understands that you have to take these measures to put yourself in a better spot to stay healthy than not. And that is a big point in not just sports, I believe, but also for the rest of us. You know, this spread at the alarming rate that it did because none of us were doing anything and we didn't know how prevalent it was. We're packing ourselves on trains and getting on subways and doing whatever. Nobody was washing their hands. They were supposed to wash their hands, and the thing went crazy. Now when we do stuff a hell of a lot differently, and we are way more conscious. So I have faith that when these teams come back, there is going to be a very, very heightened sense of I need to protect myself. I can't just wait around for everything to break my way. I need to do things to make sure that I stay healthy, and that's going to help these leagues continue without positive cases. If there's no guarantee, there's still always going to be a chance, but we're in a hell of a lot better spot now as we approach Memorial Day weekend in the end of May than we were back in early March when these teams were still playing, where it was just impossible to continue the way that things were going.
You know, I was trying to put myself in the NHL players' skates and thinking about, like, what it would be to play in a real game where there are no fans. And, you know, I've experienced that. You know, I've actually won a championship.
Oh, boy. And, here we go.
You know, I won a championship up in Lake Placid, New York last year.
Yeah.
And there were no fans there. You know what I'm saying?
Boomer is now, for our radio audience, he has grabbed a championship photo in a frame that he is showing to the camera. That is him and the Wasps up in Lake Placid.
Right.
And that was the championship that they won up there in the
big championship, by the way.
Over 55 men's league that he won.
Yeah, we played in the arena where the Americans beat the Soviets in 1980 for the gold medal.
Yes,
and we won our gold
medal. Your
game,
the only game more famous than that one. Yes.
Right, and there were no fans. And since there were no fans, you know, it did not take away from the intensity of the game. It was about as intense as it got, and we walked away with the gold medal. So I since I put myself in the skates of the NHL player, I think they'll be fine. I think they'll get through it. They'll play hockey. They'll play great, and we as fans will enjoy it. And I was glad to get the text messages last night that things were really progressing and moving forward.
Good.
And I'm glad they did 24 teams because it gives my team, the New York Rangers, with two young, hot goalies. And I don't mean physically hot. I mean hot in net.
Very handsome goaltender.
We do have a third very hot goalie, though, away from the ice.
Yeah.
Chris Kreider should be healthy. Everybody should be good. All these other teams should have total health. And hopefully we'll get some great, compelling hockey to watch.
Yes, and that is great news for all sports fans because someone's got to be first in team sports, and it's either going to be the NBA or the NHL, and maybe somehow by a miracle it's Major League Baseball, but I'm not counting on that right now. All right, so as we mentioned, kickoff to summer show. Normally we are out and about. We have the show on the road, and there is one man that indicates to me that there is a party about to happen. Anytime I see his bald... No. That's the opposite of that.
Oh, okay.
Anytime I see his big bald head and a folding chair that is sitting in a parking lot somewhere, I say, we are about to have a party. His face, his aura is synonymous with fun, and that is Dannon Carteret. Whether it's the Blue Point show, the kickoff to summer show, any show that we do away from the studio, Dan is the first one in line. So we thought, to keep some sense of normalcy in these challenging times, as they say, that we would have Dan lead us off this morning with a phone call to make it feel like it's the kickoff to summer. No, he's not out in the parking lot. No, he's not out in my driveway, I don't think. No, I don't think he's somewhere in Boomer's basement. But here he is, Dannon Carteret. Dan, good morning. We miss you. Hope you're doing well.
Oh, good morning. Thank you. Same to both of you. First time, long time.
Not really.
Never let off any show and all the years of listening to the fan and calling in to the various shows, primarily the morning show. So first time,
well,
Dan, long time.
How are you dealing with this, man? Because this is a huge departure. I know we're all dealing with it in our own way. You know, last night would have been out together getting some dinner, having some drinks, and then waking up and doing the show at Headliner. You would have been doing the same. You would have been up and awake in that parking lot at like 2, 3 a.m. So how are you handling this morning, and how are you going to try to recreate it?
I was handling it, you know, I was just saying to Eddie before he put me in the queue, it's definitely hitting hard today compared to the brewery event that we were supposed to be at on April 2nd, because, you know, that was thrown kind of like a curveball surprise by you when you announced it, I think, at the end of February, beginning of March. But this is tradition. I mean, I've been going to the summer kickoff party since the days with Craig when they had him at DJ's nightclub in Belmar before it transitioned over to the Headliner. So it's definitely hitting harder today that the tradition has ended.
Dan, come on. The tradition is not ended, okay? We're here. We're all wearing sunglasses, all right? We're going to have Mike Del Judas. We're doing it differently this year, but the tradition is not ended.
Yeah.
And you can bet your ass, Dan, that next year you're going to be sitting in a folding chair in a parking lot in the middle of the night, and we're going to go get drunk together, all right? So you can guarantee that.
Yeah, I hope so. And I know you're trying to be positive. I heard the comments from the start of the show. So
I'm not trying to be. I am positive, damn it.
Okay.
Come on.
Okay. You are positive. But I'm just being realistic. It's I got work. I'll be leaving for work to go in for some early overtime at 10 a.m. So I will not. I mean, right now I'd be about four beers deep standing right at the rope across you guys the stage. You know, probably have a couple bourbons in me by now, too. But I will be having breakfast soon and then getting ready to head off to work eventually and do a 14-hour shift. So that's going to be my day. But I'll be listening to the show, you know, on radio.com till the end, and listening to the live music and all the commentary. But it's definitely, that definitely feels different, and hits a little harder today, you know, that we're not there live.
Yes, that is true. But at the same time, Dan, you know, we are all together in our own ways. You know, as I mentioned to open the show, it is not about what you don't have. It's about what you have. You know, it's like one of those Jerry Recco inspirational speeches that he listens to driving into work. It's not about the things that you haven't accomplished. It's not about the things that you want. It's about the things that you have. And what do we have right now? I mean, Dan's still got a job that he's going to. He's still got the show to listen to. We're all here together. We're still working. Yeah, we're not together at the Headliner, but we're still, I'm looking at everybody for crying out loud. And we're going to have some live music later. And we're going to have a giveaway I'm going to explain to you a little bit later. So, hell, this could be so much worse than it is, quite frankly. And, oh, by the way, all of us are healthy on top of it. So I'm not no more shedding tears this morning about what we don't have. We're going to make this thing about as fun as possible. I mean, I shot out of bed today. I threw these white pants on, and I said, let's go. And it was very, very difficult for me not to have an alcoholic beverage at about 4:30 in the morning. I was ready to go. I was like, you know what? Screw it. But I didn't do it.
We're all just here. Yeah. And one day we're all not.
Oh, there shut up.
And the world's going to keep spinning.
No.
And we'll be forgotten.
No, not doing that today.
See, that's Jerry right there. That's a famous Jerryism.
Yeah, we're not doing that today.
Even
Jerry today, I think, is not going to be that type of Jerry.
I slept in my jersey last night. I'm ready to roll. Got my coffee. I'm ready to kick back. And plus, I'm finding out we're going to have some hockey. And I like what the way the NHL is coming back. And I like what they're thinking and how they're going to do this. And this sports fan wakes up this morning very happy. And can't wait to get it going.
All right. Boomer and Geo on the Fan, CBS Sports Network and radio.com.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.